It's a movement, but it's about people. Be the People is about we the people joining forces to reclaim and reshape the best of our nation's time-treasured traditions. Each week, we offer insightful interviews with movers and shakers from all different spheres of life. And now, please welcome Dr. Carol Swain.
Democrats are lamenting the death of an Iranian terrorist, Major General Qasem Soleimani, who is responsible for hundreds of American deaths and was actively planning to kill other Americans. Rather than celebrating with the rest of us, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is now seeking to flex her muscles by passing a resolution preventing President Trump from taking further action against Iran unless he gets congressional approval. Now, can you imagine the president going before a divided Congress during an election year? Can you imagine the president going before a divided Congress filled with leftist Democrats who hate his guts to ask for permission to protect us against the Iranian threat? Well, this is what Pelosi is demanding. Now, Pelosi's argument stands on the fact that under the Constitution, Congress has the power to declare war, but Congress hasn't declared a war since 1942 when it declared war against Bulgaria, Hungary, and Romania. In 2003, it authorized the use of force in Iraq. Joining me today is someone who knows a whole lot about America and has watched history unfold from a front row seat. I'm joined by Dave Black. Dave is the founder of Aegis Science Corporation. He retired from that in 2016. He's also the husband of former House Budget Chair Diane Black and is the founder of Second Vote. Second Vote is a conservative watchdog for corporate America. It scores companies and it gives us as consumers an opportunity to support the companies that support our values. So, Dave, welcome to the Be the People show. You've been on the show before, and we welcome you back.
Carol, thank you very much, and Happy New Year to you.
Same to you. So what do you make of Nancy Pelosi and what's been taking place with this Congress?
Well, although in some regards we might be surprised, in other aspects of this, I don't think there should be any surprise. I think part of this is that there's an unreasonable and illogical response to anything President Trump does. As President of the United States, no matter what action he takes, he comes under criticism from the mainstream media as well as Democrats, which are, frankly speaking, almost one and the same. It's hard to imagine. Iran has declared its intent to destroy the United States, that we are the great Satan, in their view, and also Israel, the smaller Satan. And this is a declared enemy of the United States, and they push terrorism out throughout the world, and they are killing Americans who wear the uniform and those who don't, contractors now. And this is a serious threat.
It is. And I know that Diane was in Congress alongside Nancy Pelosi. How many years was Diane in Congress?
She was in Congress for 8 years.
Okay. She also has watched this Congress since Trump has been elected. Has Congress gotten worse, or was it always like that?
Well, it seems to become even more divided. I will say, though, from my own observation, that when the cameras are turned off and if the doors are closed and the folks are behind closed doors, it's a different atmosphere. The division that we see, that we witness publicly through the media, is not necessarily existent when these individuals are actually looking to try to work together. You don't hear it reported in the media, but actually there's a lot of bipartisan legislation that comes out of the House. Too often it goes to the Senate to die. But there are still reasonable and rational Democrats in Washington, D.C., but they are led by and intimidated by Nancy Pelosi and other leadership.
Well, they certainly are. And it seems to me, you know, with the impeachment, the one thing about the strike against Iran is that it's knocked impeachment off the front page. And for many of us, you know, we were kind of startled by the fact that the Democrats and Nancy Pelosi pushed so hard for impeachment, and then she's holding the articles, not sending it to the Senate?
Well, we certainly heard the complaint that the strike against the Iranian general was to distract from the impeachment process. But I think Nancy Pelosi and the Democrat leadership have actually impeached their own arguments by how they've handled not passing the articles of impeachment over to the Senate to be considered and to be acted upon as required by the Constitution. So sometimes even a mystery for those that are even close to the game in Washington, D.C. to understand exactly what is occurring and why. There is a grander plan here. I don't perceive it myself. There was absolutely a argument made by those who believed that impeachment was the proper course to take, that it was necessary, that the president represented a threat to our nation, that this had to be dealt with immediately and done immediately, and now there's no action. So it's obviously political. It's not constitutional. It is sad that we've reached a place in our nation, in our history of our nation, where just because there's disagreement in policy, that this could lead to an impeachment process. This is not the intent of the founders by any measure.
It certainly isn't. And you are a retired military. Tell us about your military background.
Well, I served. I'm not retired from the military, but I did serve. I spent 4 years active in the Marine Corps, 6 years in active reserve. I'm a Vietnam veteran. I was in Vietnam 1968-69 during the peak. I was there when we were losing 400, 500, 600 men a week. I'd like to imagine myself as being a patriot. I served proudly even in a war that was unpopular, but believed that my nation called for those to serve, and I'm proud of my generation. Our generation, almost 70% of those who served during Vietnam are volunteers, not drafted. There's a lot of misinformation about what occurred during Vietnam.
And you're very precise, because when I think about retired from the military, I think of everyone who served and ended and was discharged in good, what did they call it, good standing?
Honorably discharged.
Honorably discharged as being retired from the military, but that's not right, huh?
Well, not exactly. No, I've got a lot of friends who were career military. They would certainly not look at me as someone retired from the military. I'm a disabled vet. I gave to my country. I still give to my country. We live in the greatest nation in the world, without a doubt. It does startle me at times that we have such division within our nation when we are indeed the most blessed nation on the planet.
Well, I know that you are quite a patriot, and some people probably don't know that, just like me, with a very humble background, that you came from very modest means.
Well, you know, Diane was born in public housing in Baltimore and became a congressman and met with the president in the White House of the United States for meetings and actions and legislation. I tell people my family aspired to live in public housing. We were beyond poor. I tell folks we weren't even dirt poor because we couldn't own dirt. I went to work at the age of 12 to feed my mother, my sister, and my three brothers. I was blessed at being 6 foot tall at the age of 12, and I could go out and get a job. And I tell folks I worked my way through elementary school, through middle school, through high school, through college. I've been blessed to live in a nation where, with hard work and determination, you can succeed. It's not always an easy path,
right,
but you can succeed.
And, you know, my path was from poverty, too. And I hear people condemning America. And it's just sad, because a lot of very successful men and women are people that came from poverty. They worked very hard. They achieved the American dream. And it's certainly possible. But too many young people are not getting that message these days.
Well, you know, there's a saying out there that if you think the cost of education is high, you haven't yet considered the cost of ignorance. There's a Pew study that came out, I believe it was 2015. 52% of Americans are among the 7% richest people in the world. 88% of Americans are among the 16% richest people in the world. And we have people in this nation complaining that we're not a fair nation.
We are blessed to be Americans. We're going to take a break. And when I return, we'll go back to these current issues that are tearing our nation apart and maybe even putting us at risk. I guess we're always at risk, but we'll take a brief break. Each week, the Be the People show presents interviews with insightful guests from the world of politics, religion, media, and culture. The Be the People show is on podcast. It offers bonus footage. To listen to Be the People online, go to the BeThePeopleNews.com website and subscribe to the Be the People podcast heard also on the America Out Loud Network.
It's your news and entertainment network. News blogs, informative podcasts, entertaining videos, or listen to 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We the People, AmericaOutLoud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
I'm back with my guest, Dave Black. Dave, there's so much taking place today in our country. Where did we go wrong?
Oh, my. Now, there's a big question.
But don't take too long answering it.
Well, I think there's a...
When did we go wrong?
Well, you could go back to 1948 with a Supreme Court decision of separation of church and state.
Hey, that's a good... I think so. That's good.
And we were founded most certainly as a Christian nation. All 56 signers of the Declaration were Christian. And when they referenced a creator in the Declaration of Independence, they are talking about a God who is the Father of Christ. It is not a generic God. It's not an undefined God. But with the separation of church and state and removing the church from all elements of our society, we have degraded our society as reflected in the decision in Roe v. Wade with abortion, but removal of prayer from school. We've had so many consequences from that decision of separation of church and state. And it's just untrue. Our founding fathers, there are many quotes from our founding fathers. They spoke repeatedly that our democracy, our republic, would only stand if we have a moral people, a religious people. And when they spoke of religion, they were speaking of Christianity.
Well, I know that to be true. When I published my book, Be the People, I wrote a chapter on the founding. And so there's no way that you could argue that the people that founded this nation were not deeply religious. And even the ones, you know, who were not devout believers, they were deists. They believed that God put it in motion and took his hands off of it, some of them. And Thomas Paine, you know, the atheist, he quoted generously from the Bible. And so people have always respected the Bible. It was used in public schools for over 200 years to teach values and principles and that type of thing. And if you look back to the 1960s, when prayer was taken out of school in 1962, Bible reading in 1963, chaos. You can chart the rise in crime, divorce, all the dysfunction seems to be chartable from those dates.
Oh, absolutely. And yes, you're right about Thomas Paine and common sense.
Yes.
Even though he himself was not a man of great faith, he used scripture to justify the separation from England. But also in the early 1960s, what happened is the Hippocratic Oath was restated. Since 400 years before the birth of Christ, the Hippocratic Oath, taken as an oath by physicians, had, depending upon the version you read, the last line would say a physician would not perform an abortion. And so the Hippocratic Oath was recommended to be changed by the president of Stanford University, and it was, and that
You're
was removed.
Kidding.
Therefore, what we had by the time we came to Roe v. Wade's decision, we had 10, 11, 12 classes of physicians graduated who had never taken that oath. And that opened up the door to physicians to perform an abortion. So there's been, you know, if you look at it, and I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist, but it looks like it's a very orchestrated change.
Well, wait a minute.
To our society.
Let's just say that if you look at Marxism, when the followers of Karl Marx saw that the economic theories were not going to work, they moved towards cultural Marxism. And you see how that infected American institutions, you know, through Columbia University and the Institute of, I think it's the Institute of Social Research they had there. But so many of the Marxists have influenced the American system, and they were behind the removal of God and prayer and the rise of atheism. And a lot of the dysfunction we see today can be just traced right back to that.
Well, yeah, you know, the Frankfurt School is what came here to Columbia University just prior to World War II.
Yes.
And it has spread to all of our campuses, all of our institutions of higher learning, and it's been driven down into our primary school system. And absolutely, it's social Marxism at work to destroy the structure of Western civilization.
They're doing a good job.
They're very well organized. They're very determined. They're well funded. I often ask myself, to what purpose? Because the chaos does lead to tyranny. And our nation was founded on the premise that we're going to create a nation of the people and by the people and for the people. And we are going to remove ourselves from the rule of man and recognize that our rights come from our Creator. And everything that has occurred since the 40s has been driven towards eliminating and removing God from the very most fundamental structure of our nation. Everything in our nation, from the education system to law to medicine, has all been predicated on the Judeo-Christian value system and code. And you know, Harvard University was 140 years old in 1776 when the Declaration of Independence was signed. And if you attended Harvard University, you were not considered well-educated unless you understood Scripture, unless
well,
you knew Scripture.
There are some people today that make the argument that to be an educated person, you need to understand biblical concepts because they're so much a part of who we are.
Well, we can't ignore the fact that we are made up of body, mind, and spirit, or soul. And there are those among us who would say there is no such thing as a soul. There is a soul, and if we don't nurture that soul, if we don't provide attention to that soul, it's the soul of our nation that will suffer and is suffering.
It definitely is suffering, and I think that it's so important for us as conservatives to be organized and to push back, and I find that we allow the political left to silence us by calling us conspiracy theorists, and we tend to cower. The last time I had you on the show, we were talking about Chick-fil-A. And what I found is very interesting is conservatives would get up in arms for a week. And then they'll be back in line at Chick-fil-A. They'll forget about it. Liberals are not like that. The leftists are not like that. They stay very focused. They're very organized. And one of the reasons why it seems like we're losing the cultural war is that we don't stick together. We're not well organized. We're not defending our values, and things are taking place that I think would shock a lot of people. One of the things that I recently learned about is in private Christian academies, they have now diversity and inclusion offices, and these people are pushing that black liberation theology of white guilt and black oppression. And they are exposing our young children to things that they don't have a basis for understanding. And so they're creating divisions because children are not born racist, but they're telling them that white people are privileged and white people are responsible for all the oppressions of black people. And to me, that's detrimental. It's shaming of our children. We shouldn't allow it, but it's taking place not just in secular places, but also in our Christian academies.
Well, Carol, if you can believe there are 56 different genders or more.
I think that's
you
more.
You can believe almost anything if you believe that it's not a baby in the womb, that it's just a mass of cells. You know, if you can believe these things, which I call unicorns, these are unicorns. These are things that are not true. But these are things that are being taught to our children as truth. If you can believe that, you can believe anything. And that is one of the real difficulties that we're dealing with is, as Christians, yes, and conservatives, we have been silent. But not only that, when we've spoken up, we adopt the language of the left.
We do.
We should never use the term pro-choice.
Or social justice. Social justice. It sounds great. Doesn't it sound great? Who could be against social justice? But it's how the left controls our Christians and conservatives because they are very good at naming things. And I find Tucker Carlson has said this loudly, but all of us know it. Whatever the political left accuses conservatives of, it's the very things they're doing. Whatever is bad that they accuse you of doing, you can be sure that that's their agenda. That's what they are at.
Yeah, no,
that's
I say
what
that
they are up to.
I say that frequently, but I will tell you, diversity is not a hidden agenda. It's to divide us.
It definitely
is. You know, in 1782, we adopted a unofficial motto, E Pluribus Unum. We were going to find our strength among those things that we find in common, that we agree on, not divide ourselves. And diversity is all about dividing us. And I'm all for inclusion of folks by race or by other factors, without a doubt. But by celebrating our differences, what we do is we're ignoring the things that we should come together on and find our strength.
Well, I'm for non-discrimination, and I think if it's wrong to do to one race, it's wrong to do to another, and that we should treat everyone equally, and that the whites living today and our white children, school children, they're not responsible for what their ancestors did, nor should they be shamed because of the color of their skin. And with that, we need to go to break. And when I return, we're going to talk about this article that you wrote about Chick-fil-A.
We are in a cultural war where liberals are targeting our children. Dr. Carol Swain and Steve Beasel have teamed up to co-author the book, Abduction, How Liberalism Steals Our Children's Hearts and Minds. They expose how liberals are using the entertainment industry and our public school system to indoctrinate our children. The book provides practical steps which you can take to push back. Get your copy of Abduction, How Liberalism Steals Our Children's Hearts and Minds on Amazon. Fight back against the brainwashing of our children.
You're listening to Be the People. Dr. Carol Swain is the mind behind Be the People news, radio, podcast, and YouTube. Be the People's mission is dedicated to empowering individuals to think independently, understand their responsibility, and believe in their unique ability to make a difference in the world. Check out Carol's work at BeThePeopleNews.com. To invite Carol to be your next keynote speaker, go to BeThePeopleNews.com. That's BeThePeopleNews.com.
I'm back with my guest, Dave Black. And Dave, let's talk about this article you've written about Chick-fil-A.
Certainly. Well, Chick-fil-A, as I think most who are listening would recall, made a sudden decision as we were entering into the Christmas season at Thanksgiving that they would no longer support Salvation Army, which of course is a Christian organization that helps millions of people. So we at Second Vote, where we do score organizations in terms of their cultural activism, we had to rescore them, and we had to take a very hard look at what Chick-fil-A was about. So posted a article on our website at Second Vote called Lincoln Unicorns and Chicken Sandwiches. The unicorn aspect of that I've already referenced in this interview, which is that we have these mythological truths that are being created within our society to change who we are as Americans. And the reference to Lincoln is interesting. In 1837, Lincoln spoke to a group in Springfield, Illinois. This is before he became president. And he commented even then in 1837, America was too strong of a country to be defeated by an enemy from outside, that we could only be defeated by an enemy from within. And of course, he was then looking to the great Civil War that would transpire. You know, the signs were there that we were a nation divided on the issue of slavery. And so we went through that first very traumatic event, which almost destroyed the United States of America. But now today, we are truly being, again, attacked from within. But in this instance, it's more insidious. It's not for a noble or worthy cause. It's really an attack on Judeo-Christian values. The battle for slavery was really a battle to live up to our Judeo-Christian values and not enslave. But today, the attack is on those very values that destroyed slavery.
Do you know what I find interesting is that with the political left, especially the LGBT community, is how they have made their cause a civil rights issue. And that is how they have been able to advance, by equating their experiences of same-sex attraction and marriage and homosexuality, equating that to race.
Well, this is another unicorn. This is a falsehood. There are more people in slavery today than in any time of history.
Well, I know that.
And much of that is sex slavery. The great issue of our time is not whether or not there are 56 different genders and whether or not two men should marry each other or two women should marry each other. We have great human issues that need to be addressed.
Have you noticed how the left does not really champion that issue the way you would think they would, and that they are totally neglecting the well-being of our children because the left is pushing for transgendering of small children, giving them drugs, and allowing them to make decisions about surgery, things that they're pushing things that adults are making decisions about young children that we would normally, if we were thinking rationally, consider that child abuse. We'd never, ever allow a child under the age of 18 to decide their own gender or to take hormones or life changing sex surgery.
Well, children are being told now that doctors arbitrarily assign sex at the moment of birth.
I know.
And it's preposterous. It's not science. It's not biology. It's not reality. And yes, because of a need for self-gratification, the LGBTQ community is harming institutions, individuals, the family structure.
Well, we need to really fight back when it comes to children. And this thing with Chick-fil-A, what really bothers me is that the person that Dan Cathy put in charge of his organization is someone that doesn't care about Chick-fil-A. You would not go in there and destroy the brand. His decision seems to have been geared at punching his finger in the eyes of Christians, in the sense that it happened right before a holiday. If they wanted to stop giving money to conservative Christian organizations, they could have done that. They didn't have to do it publicly right before a holiday.
But as I write in my article, we've seen this before. The same thing happened in 2004 with Target department stores. Right before Christmas in 2004, Target announced that Salvation Army bell ringers could no longer collect money outside of their stores. Exactly the same scenario. This is a poking in our eyes, in the Christian eye, without a doubt.
It's a strategy.
Happens, absolutely. This happens for a purpose. This is never accidental. This is very well orchestrated. This is very well designed, very well funded, and it's very sad. I have no concept. I have no real idea what happened behind the closed doors at Chick-fil-A. They have had a great support system for who they are as Christians, as an organization, but they have now changed themselves. We no longer score them well at Second Vote. I'm sad to say that. We certainly do suggest and promote that we pray for the Cathy family. This is much bigger than just Chick-fil-A. This is bigger than chicken sandwiches. This is really an attack on our culture, on the family structure. And if this continues unabated, we are going to live in a society that we will no longer recognize.
And here's something, you know, that relates to this too. And I don't know, maybe you don't score magazines, but Christianity Today, they waited until just before Christmas to launch an attack against the president, saying that he should be impeached. And that too was not neutral, because it impugned the character of all Christian Trump supporters. And so it was, first we get Chick-fil-A right before Thanksgiving, we get Christianity Today right before Christmas.
And also Hallmark. Don't forget Hallmark.
Oh, Hallmark. Yes, let's not forget Hallmark.
Yes, we also have a commercial on Hallmark showing two women kissing at a wedding ceremony. I don't watch Hallmark, but I noticed this same advertisement is running a lot on other stations. I'd never seen it previous to this whole affair or this whole event, but maybe it just now it has my attention. But why right before Christmas? Why did this ad go up right at the Christmas season?
Well, Dave, tell us about what we can do to help Second Vote and what you're trying to do. And I know that you and Diane have invested a lot of your personal resources into this organization that's designed to help all of us support the companies that share our values. And so we only have a couple of minutes left. So please tell our listeners what they can do.
Well, we'd like you to come to our website at secondvote.com with using the number 2, secondvote.com. We would love for you to become a donor or a member and help support us. When we score a company, on average, it costs about $1,500 to score a company. And then, of course, we have to keep monitoring that. But we've scored and posted data on about 880 organizations, primarily for-profit, although some of those are nonprofit, because there are a lot of nonprofits that are bad actors. I would ask that people come to the website, look at the information, become better educated, take action on that information. And then also, we would truly value your support of what we're doing. Most folks are not aware of how corporate America has become a big funder of the radical left, and it's your money that you're spending with them through your shopping that's helping to support this attack on your values.
Well, Dave, we're going to post your article. What's the title of that article again?
Lincoln, Unicorns, and Chicken Sandwiches.
We will post a link to the article as well as your website. And I do encourage the listeners out there to support your values. Go to the website, sign up to make a monthly contribution. Even if it's only $25 a month, it all adds up. And remember, it's we the people. We must stand up and be the people who change our nation and our world. And right now, there's a lot at stake. We need all hands on deck. Thank you.